Hey, what's going on? This is Kevin Hart. Right now, you're watching Jalen in the Post.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
In the wake of the national unrest that has swept the globe in the past few days, you've seen a lot of corporations, a lot of companies, a lot of brands, and a lot of teams put out just statements about how they feel in the support of the fight for equality amongst humans. Well, the Knicks did not put out a statement, but James Dolan wrote an internal memo that was leaked, and here's what it said. Quote, as companies in the business of sports and entertainment, however, we are not any more qualified than anyone else to offer our opinion on social matters. What's important is how we operate. Our companies are committed to upholding our values, which include creating a respectful workplace for all, and that will never change. What we say to each other matters. How we treat each other matters, and that's what will get us through this difficult time. Jalen, what do you think about the fact that he wrote an internal memo about the lack of a public statement?
If this seems like suppression and or a bully tactic to those that work for you and or under your tutelage, it is. But I hate to remind everybody, it's not just Madison Square Garden or the Knicks that have this overtone about their corporation and business. A lot of them, if not many of, not most of them do. It's just that he put it in the memo. For most others, it's just understood. Same premise. He doesn't want people to comment on social issues. You can name whatever business that you want. Anything you post on IG, Twitter, Facebook, you have to be accountable for it as it relates to your employer. That's why I always talk to young people about using social media to your benefit, not your detriment.
What's wild to me is he acts like there's some sort of lack of expertise. Like we haven't studied this enough. We're not experts on this, so we're not qualified to offer our opinion. But that's the thing is, it doesn't take expertise to watch the video of George Floyd die underneath the knee of a police officer to look at that and just viscerally say, you know what? That's bad. That was wrong. We as a company, me as an individual, us as a collective, we are against this murder. Murder is pretty binary. Like, you're either for it or against it. And it really seems to me that there's no level of expertise. There's no qualification. There's no degree that you need to get in anything to come out and just say, murder is bad. What happened in Minneapolis, the death of George Floyd, was wrong. And we stand against that. Like, how hard is that, Jalen?
The brutality of criminals with badges and guns have been going on for as long as black and brown people have been in the United States of America, Jacoby. And you're talking about the same James Dolan who used security and forces to have Charles Oakley removed from the building? You talking about that guy? The same one that denied entry to Spike Lee? Okay, so again, this could be an easy topic to make him a punching bag, but I will say this. Don't act like in corporate America, the majority of companies don't feel this way. They just don't print it in a company letter like he did.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the instance because this is not sort of the only thing that he has done. Now, I do want to point out that he has hired a lot of African-American for prominent positions, especially in the New York Knicks. But, you know, you remember this, that he told fans to root for the Nets. The altercation with Charles Oakley, banning a fan from MSG for speaking up about him. The public feud with Spike Lee in that video. Like, this is, he's a habitual line stepper. And my question for you is, as someone who has played in the NBA, how do you feel if you are a member of the Knicks? How do you feel if you are a free agent considering the Knicks? How do you feel if you are a draft prospect about to get picked by the Knicks?
So you have to be able to separate the two, Jacoby, because we've made accusations and held accountable a lot of different prominent people for teams. It doesn't mean that they still don't have great players in uniform because that's their job. So I don't think with the shakeup that they've done in the front office, I think they've actually improved their position and their basketball decision making. So therefore, if people will consider coming to New York City, I still, after all of this, believe the Knicks are going to be a viable option and will be landing somebody that's a game changer.
I do love the hire of Leon Rose. You know what I mean? I like the involvement of Steve Stout. But it just seems like anytime the Knicks start to gain a little bit of momentum, just to start to sort of like repair the reputation that they have in the world amongst NBA fans, they take two steps back every time they take one step forward. And this is just so tone deaf. Read the room, James Dolan. Read the room. Do you know
how this would have helped the Knicks? Let me tell you what would have helped the Knicks.
What's going to
help the Knicks? My Puma brothers, Knox and RJ Barrett Ball. That's what would have helped the Knicks, their last two lottery picks.
Well, they've got a lottery pick coming, and I hope it is LaMelo Ball. And I just want to ask one serious question is, this obviously is not enough. I mean, this is clearly his decision, and this is within his rights to do. But is there any chance that James Dolan violates these little things enough time where the NBA starts to sort of challenge his ownership?
No. When we speak about story brands, of course we're going to talk about the Lakers and the Yankees and the Celtics. Actually, the Knicks are worth more.
I know.
How about that? And with two championships that they won 40 plus years ago, the real estate in New York City, along with the power of the brands that play in that building, and his father owned the team. And because of nepotism, it's now his, Jacoby. He's not going to be a Donald Sterling. He's not going to be forced to sell the team. I know there are a lot of people that's like, sell the team, sell the team. And if I had to pay to watch them play, I would feel the exact same way over the past X amount of years. But not going to be able to do it.
Why would you sell the team when the value increases it the way it does? You look at the Forbes list, the most valuable franchise. Not only are they at the top of the NBA, they're at the top of the NBA, and the gap keeps growing every single year. The value of that franchise is grows and grows and grows. He is literally failing his way up the value of the franchise. It is depressing. And sort of like the way that he is so blind about this, and the fact that he can't speak out against what was clearly a brutal murder in the streets by a police officer in broad daylight on video, it reminded me of a story sort of like about my son that happened over the weekend that I wanted to share with you, Jalen, and get your opinion on this. He is your nephew as well. He, you know, we had, there were two remote controls, one for the TV, one for the cable. And he wanted to watch TV. He's a kid. He's 6 years old, right? And I turned on the television and I couldn't change the channel because I didn't have the cable remote. So he was watching the news, and what he saw was the George Floyd video. And as he watched George Floyd underneath the knee of the police officer, and as he saw the police officer there, he just started to tears well up in his eyes. And I saw his lower lip quiver, and he goes, "Daddy, what is happening to that man under the car? What is happening to that man under the car?" And if you think about it like that, he has a black mother and a white father. He is biracial, and he understands that there are different races, but he obviously doesn't understand the complexity of the history of that in this country. And he doesn't understand sort of how polarizing it is right now and the tension that's happening right now. All he is a blank piece of paper, an innocent young boy looking at this image, and he can immediately decipher what is right and what is wrong. And I think about that when I look at James Dolan, like, can you not just immediately decipher what is right and wrong? You know, like, can you not just speak out against this act, something that is so blatant that a six-year-old boy can compute it and understand it into what is right and what is wrong?
I appreciate you sharing that story because, you know, information is valuable, and youngsters lose their innocence so very early with television, radio, and social media, because I know that was something that you would have hoped to gently explain to him and show him and guide him through, versus like just throwing him in the pool literally and him just seeing it. And so I admire how you handled that and how his outlook was so innocent. It reminds me that hate is taught. And just think about this. He now, as a young man, gets to have idols in the United States that look like me, yet a father that looks like you, and a mother that looks like his. So we are making progress and we're inching towards it. And I just want to encourage people, as somebody that's 47 years old, I saw a lot of progress happen knowing that we have a long way to go. And that story just inspires me to acknowledge that, you know, the marathon continues, as the late, great Nipsey Hussle would say.
And it's also just a clear demonstration that hate is taught. Hate is not something that you are born with. Hate is taught. It is not something that is born within you. When we come back, we might have Major League Baseball sooner than we thought. It might happen this season. We'll give you the details right after this. Stay back. 2 minutes. We're back.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. The bat has returned. That must mean it's time to keep it moving. If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. First up, MLB is close to getting a deal done.
Hit the brakes.
Game regular season. Jalen wants to hit the brakes. Do you think this is a good deal for both the players and the teams, a 50-game regular season?
I think it's going to be a good deal if they're able to play baseball, especially publicly how it sounded like these sides were so very far apart and they understand the magnitude of what baseball will mean to help heal the country, but also just the damage it would do to the sport if they did not play. The question mark I would have is, unlike the NBA, Jacoby, I think Major League Baseball's champion will get an asterisk. They're going to play a third of the season. They're gonna play a third of the season and then go to the playoffs. Not really many teams make the playoffs and then have a World Series champion.
That's a good point. I do feel like this would have a much bigger asterisk on it than any other league if they only played 50 games. Moving on, DeSean Jackson wants players mic'd up if there are no fans.
I do too. Hit the break. Get healthy soon, D. Jax. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Aaron Donald bought himself an exorbitant birthday present.
The brakes. You know how we feel about our birthdays, Jacoby.
Look at the chain that Aaron Donald bought himself. I got to say something, though. Soft move buying yourself a birthday present. Like, you don't got to buy yourself something. I don't buy myself a birthday present.
You ain't been rich long enough. When you start realizing you're spending all your money on everybody else, and then you look down at your phone and all they do is complaining about what you ain't doing for them when you ain't doing it. It's like Chris Rock said in Dead Presidents. If I could be where everybody wanted me to be when everybody wanted me to be there, I'd be confused. Happy birthday, Aaron Donald. Got to get some security to walk around with that thing.
Happy birthday, Mr. Donald.
For sure. He fight nice.
If I didn't have your money, I would buy myself a birthday present as well. Next up, some new information about my number one prospect in this year's draft, LaMelo Ball.
Break.
I love LaMelo Ball so much, and finally the rest of the world is starting to catch up. The Cleveland Plain Dealer is reporting that if the Cavaliers have the number one pick in the draft, they would use it on LaMelo Ball. Jalen, what do you think about making LaMelo Ball a risky pick, even though I have him as the number one, your number
Shout
one pick in the draft?
Shout out to Dan Gilbert, who's dealt with some health issues, a supporter of JRLA. Here's what I'll say. If the Cavs get the number one pick again, it'll be some upset teams in the league.
That's a great point.
You get it with LeBron. You get it with Bennett. You know, Kyrie. And now you get it with LaMelo. Like, there'll be some upset squads in the league.
That's a really good point. Finally, we have an update on the very strange diet of Conor McGregor. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, we got to hit the brakes on this one.
So, Jalen, I think this is definitely cultural. Let's just take a look at what McGregor has been eating. What you see there are dead bees. Dead bees.
Really?
Jalen, why in the world would you ever eat dead bees?
I don't understand why you eat dead bees. Is that where do you buy that at?
I don't understand.
Where are those sold?
They did say they were seasoned with like fruits and like Caribbean pepper. I was like, oh, maybe that'll work. Like, you know what? That does sound kind
of. What's one of the strangest things you eat?
Some teams want 30 teams in the NBA bubble. We'll discuss why.
Chitlins.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, every day it seems more intimate that the NBA will return. It's just a matter of how. And we have reports from our guys, Lowe and Woj, that some small market teams
Get are low.
trying to campaign for a 30-team start, every team in the bubble. Now, we did the research. Those teams sound like Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota, San Antonio, Sacramento, Portland, teams like that that are now outside the playoffs looking to go to the bubble. Why would they want to do that, Jalen?
See, beyond the small market portion of this, all situations aren't created equal. If I have a young star that hasn't played in the playoffs, like Devin Booker or Trae Young, I want to play any basketball I can. If I have championship grizzled vets like the Golden State Warriors or the Nets, this season can't end fast enough. If you're Charlotte, you want your team to be playing just for relevancy and branding. And also, MJ got to show his face after the last dance. We're just looking at MJ sitting on the sideline.
He just wants to ride the wave.
Right.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, Jalen Rose. Before we go, of course, we want to recognize the passing of NBA legend Unseld, and of course, condolences to his family. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock on ESPN. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. We always put exclusive content on our podcast. Dan Le Batard and Highly Questionable is next.
West right Unseld.
There's one way I do clean myself. It goes all the way back to my honeymoon. We took a honeymoon to Thailand. And when you go to Thailand, next to every single toilet in every single hotel, they've got sort of a little handheld hose. So you can clean yourself after a number two. It's everywhere. Whether you're spending $10 a night or $1,000 a night, it is required. Because that, water, is the best way to clean yourself after you use the bathroom. It was when me and my wife were there, we're like, why is this not in North America? Why have we gotten not that far? We are literally putting people into space last weekend. But for some reason, we do not properly clean ourselves after we use the bathroom. And one day my wife took action. She got a Hello Tushy for our toilet, and I will never go back. If you know what Hello Tushy is, Hello Tushy is, it's not a bidet, because a bidet is something that they have in castles. A bidet is something they have in mansions. A bidet is something that normal people do not have. It is a bathroom luxury. It's basically a second toilet with a water that precisely has a stream to help yourself clean after you use the toilet. Hello Tushy puts bidet action inside your toilet. If you have a butthole, you need a Hello Tushy. And you can get them at HelloTushy.com. It's hard to believe that we go to the bathroom and most of us just wipe instead of wash, especially that part of your body. Don't you think that it deserves to be washed instead of wiped? If you clean your body with soap and water in the shower, why are you not using water to clean what is arguably the dirtiest part of your body? I know this is uncomfortable, but one thing we all have in common is pooping. One thing we all have in common is buttholes. And all y'all that don't have Hello Tushies, you have dirty buttholes. I can't believe I just said that, and I mean it. Because I have one. I actually have one. And what it does is it delivers a precise stream to clean. And not only that, it's got a couple knobs on it. And one of the knobs controls the intensity of the spray. Because sometimes some people need an intense spray. Some people don't. Some people enjoy an intense spray. Some people don't. They got a dial right there so you can dial it in. And here's the thing. It's not an appliance that you buy. It's just a small attachment that easily fits onto your toilet, that easily is installed. And here's the thing. It does it for just $79. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. Even with the best two-ply, you just can't cut it when it comes to the hands-free poop experience. Listen, I have one, and you should have one too. Join us right now to have a clean butt with every flush. Go to HelloTushy.com/JJ and get 10% off. Again, HelloTushy.com/JJ. This is a special offer for our listeners. Go to HelloTushy.com/JJ. You get 10% off. Join me and the Tushy gang. Go to HelloTushy.com/JJ.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul. The 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We always do podcast exclusive content, and sometimes when we do podcast exclusive content, we take people behind the curtain of the program. Now, Jalen cares so much about this show, not about the actual show part, more about his background, his haircut, his outfit, and the intro. Now, those who've been following this podcast for a long time know that the intro has been a point of contention on this show ever since the very first program when Jalen just blurted out, "Gotta get the people what they want," when I was in the middle of a sentence. So there's been some discussions. We had a conference call and they said, look, the show's so short that maybe we should cut down the intro. And when you heard that, you were on the call. You didn't say anything. But when you were on the call, what went through your heart and your mind?
What went through my heart and mind is like any relationship, like any negotiation. First off, I had to be a realist and understand we're not doing 2 hours of radio anymore. We're not doing 30 minutes of late night TV. We're not only delivering a pot once a week. We're not even on ESPN2 for an hour or 30 minutes. We're actually on ESPN every day with a promo at 4 p.m. And since we have a limited time for content, it's a smart suggestion.
You know what it's like?
But
you know
the one thing I know about any relationship or negotiation, once you give that back, I already know all of the people that were talking about it before I joined the call and all of the emails that got sent, they never wanted to go back.
Oh, that's a couple things I want to discuss. Number one, it's definitely like your shoulder surgery. Like, you know you need it. You just don't want to do it. Like, you know you're going to be better afterwards. You just don't want to do it. It's the same thing. Your shoulder has been bothering you for like 6 years. Now, you know you need to get that cleaned up. Like, you know you do.
I do.
But you know what would make you better? Do. Like, I know this needs to happen. It is the right decision on paper, but I'm emotionally invested in the intro, you know? And one thing that you brought up that I wanted to bring up too is, you know, that they had a conversation without us. And they're like, look, it makes sense that this intro is good. Like, on the cool check-in doesn't even mean anything. Half people don't even know what the reference is. And he says it in a way that I don't even understand it. Like, I've gotten some tweets over the years, like, what does Jalen even say? Like, we know this is the right thing to do, but it just feels like just another way that we sold out, you know? And I want to tell our podcast exclusive listeners that we'll never really sell out, but we'll kind of sell out sometimes. You know, you got to get on. If we get on to ESPN, just we want more of you guys. We want more of you guys in the tent. We want to get a bigger tent. We want to build the brand a little bit. And sometimes you just got to make a shorter intro to get there.
And also what I learned for mainstream consumption, to have a national corporate job at Disney, but yet still be able to talk about pop culture, rap, entertainment, current events, is you got to spoon feed them. Like, I can't come on here and give you X-Clan. I can give you Chuck D. I can give you, you know, but I can't give you X-Clan.
You can feel it. It'd be,
right? My minds would explode. It'd be like, that's just way too much. So you gotta spoon feed it a little bit, you know? And I appreciate the dialogue that has happened in my texts, in my emails, on this show with you, and amongst so many of my white friends. It's been refreshing for me because a lot of times we carry a burden and an anger that becomes a chip on our shoulder that we get so used to having it. It was almost like me not having a father. Like, I thought that was normal. I thought that was normal. That ain't normal. You see what I'm saying? And so we get used to carrying that burden and fighting that fight. But here's what I want to ask people. As you look back at history, when I look at 94 draft, some people feel like he should have wore that. It was the greatest thing ever. Some people feel like he shouldn't have wore it. It wasn't the greatest thing ever. When I see it, I just wish I had bread to get it tailored. That's all. That's the only thing I would have changed. Right? So as you look back at history, you can look at your fashion. You can look at your haircuts. You can look at people you dated. You can look at who you went to the prom with. Went to the prom with. You can look back at your history and see how you've grown in your own eyes when you look in the mirror currently. So what I want to ask our audience, and I appreciate you doing this on this show, my brother, is I'm going to recant off top. This is off wax. You and I both know that I didn't prepare to do this. But since we go ahead, let's go here for the pod exclusive. Because we didn't have a pod since this incident happened, by the way, the last couple of days even. So ask yourself, how did you feel, especially if you're older than me, how did you feel when Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised a fist at the Summer Olympics? How did you feel when this picture behind me, the Ali Summit, he refused and ultimately got jailed because he didn't want to enlist? And people behind me like Lew Alcindor, a young buck, by the way, before he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was always socially and politically conscious. Bill Russell, the ultimate champion. How did you feel about that if you were around? Be honest. Tell me. How did you feel? How did you feel when you heard about terms like reparations or affirmative action? How did you feel? And has that changed from a sports context? How did you feel when players were told just shut up and be happy you got a scholarship? Y'all shouldn't be getting paid off y'all name, image, and likeness. You know, y'all should. If that was me, you know, my parents got to pay for me to go to school. How did you feel? Let's graduate. How did you feel when the Rodney King beating happened in Detroit? We have Malice Green. Same thing. How did you feel when NWA said screw the police? Did you understand what they were saying when Ice-T made Cop Killer? Did you understand and comprehend what they were saying, America? Did you know? Okay, let me go early 2000s. Multiple killings of unarmed black and brown people. But here's what changed. We didn't have Martin. How did you feel about him? Oh, that's right. The last year of Martin Luther King's life, David Jacoby, He was listed as the number one most hated person in the United States of America. Martin Luther King doing peaceful protests. How did you feel about Martin? How did you feel about Malcolm? What did you think when the Black Panthers in Oakland were following around police officers as they did stops and they stood social distancing and made sure that the person that got stopped didn't get shot or killed by the cops? How did people feel when that happened? How did you feel when you saw the video of those white individuals in Michigan storming the state capitol with weapons in tow because they were unhappy that what they consider essential businesses were not open? How did you feel when Colin Kaepernick took a knee? Did you say amongst your friends, you know, he shouldn't do that at work? That's where it's most visible. If you're going to get people's attention, you got to make other people uncomfortable. And how about we graduate that to the image in Minnesota that mirrors Colin Kaepernick's? How about that? How about Jalen, that?
I want to share something with you because I feel like much like the Kaepernick saga, remember when it got away from social injustice and police brutality and it turned more to supporting the troops and patriotism and polarizing? And I feel like let's not let that happen here. because this is about police brutality, police reform, and the death of George Floyd and three officers that were involved in that incident that have still not been charged, right? And I was listening to the Daily podcast, and they told a story that I found really interesting that's a really good example of how police behavior is protected. In 2010 in Minneapolis, a gentleman by the name of David Cornelius Smith, I do not know his race. I imagine he is black. He was held down in Minneapolis 10 years ago, held down with a knee to his neck for 4 minutes. Obviously, the same officer, Derek Chauvin, was not involved in this incident, needs to be said. He passed away. Same town, same exact thing, 4 minutes, passed away. Internal affairs investigated. Police officers were cleared. As far as I know, there's no cell phone video of David Cornelius Smith in this incident back in 2010. And someone tells me that that's the difference between George Floyd and David Cornelius Smith. Like, if this video doesn't come out, if this doesn't become a national story, it goes back to the same old blue wall, police protecting their own, internal affairs, works in the same office, in the same department as the officers that did this. And it just all gets swept under the rug and no one is brought to justice. And it just goes to show you that this isn't the first time that this has happened in that city. And in that, when this has happened before in that city, justice was not served. I found that fascinating.
I'm glad you went there, because as I was mentioning, the greatest thing to happen to our civil liberties and rights since Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, so many great freedom fighters in between. I am not going to start trying to name because I'm going to leave some off. But I respect all of the freedom fighters, each and every one of them. But the greatest thing that has happened to our movement to see our pain has been cell phone video and cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Chuck D said, that makes the revolution televised.
You know why Rodney King was such a big deal? Because it was videotaped even back then. And you gotta remember how you videotape something like that. You have to have like a camcorder. Like if Rodney King isn't on video, there are thousands, if not millions of Rodney Kings out there that had the same experience around this country, but it just wasn't videotaped. Guess what? Rodney King's was. Look at you.
So here's what I don't want to have happen. 98% of the protests have been peaceful. And of course, you're going to have those trying to hijack any movement. When there's chaos, when there's anger, there's pain, there's a lack of leadership from the most powerful office in the land, there's going to be anarchy. And so, Jacoby, I need some therapy to say this into this microphone because I've been waiting on this point, but I haven't said it yet to anybody.
Podcast.
As I watched the riots and I watched the burning, as somebody that was born in Detroit right after the 68 riots, they moved to Los Angeles in 94 right after the Rodney King riots, watching the looting and see people dumbfounded by why it was happening made me feel like I needed to say what I'm about to say. For those who did not grow up in the neighborhood or in an urban environment or grow up poor or broke, sometimes in particular it happens through rap music or the culture that in reverse you romanticize about what it's like to be in the hood because you didn't necessarily have to grow up there. I remember just like people asking me about it and, you know, have I ever seen somebody get shot or, you know, whatever, like just wanting to know my ghetto tales type of thing. When you see people burning up their community, the best example I can give you would be the equivalence of prisoners burning up the yard. In their minds, we're imprisoned, we have no rights, and here's the more important thing. we don't own anything. So it's like you would think if you're going to riot or loot your own community, it's not a black book that says, hey, these are all of the stores that are mom and pops. Don't hit those 50 stores because they're black owned. It's, we're going to tear all this up till y'all get it, until y'all start listening. And whether it's Ferguson, if I wanted to name riots around the country, I probably could get to 100 before you stop me. And so I think the pandemic, Jacoby, and the coronavirus has forced everybody to sit still. Just like watching Last Dance, sit still and really digest when we're not moving what's actually the undercurrent of our society. And so the next challenge is going to be, what do we do to fix it? And if you're from an urban environment, I'm going to give you the steps. Number one, say and be the change you want to see. Don't just talk about, do it. And it doesn't cost money to give back to your community. That's number one. Number two, vote. And I'm not just talking about the highest office in the land. Well, we definitely got to vote. Definitely got to vote. Talking about prosecutors. Talking about senators. Mayors. Governors. And definitely the president. We got to vote. And so the way we are stomping now, as we should be, in peace, I want to be a beacon to make sure that we are doing the exact same thing when it's time to vote and make some change.
And that's also something I was talking about yesterday with the rage you felt on the 25th of May versus the relative rage you felt on the 24th of May before you saw the George Floyd video. And the George Floyd video was an important catalyst, an important remembrance, an important element in this to bring this issue to the forefront that is so much bigger than just George Floyd's life. And one of the things you can do moving forward is one of the things I heard today is they're actually sort of pulling away some of the National Guard presence in Minneapolis, and which is sort of a sign, and who knows where it's going to go from here, because we know that everything is uncertain when it comes to coronavirus and this national unrest, but it's a sign that things are calming down somewhat, you know, and that the protests will get smaller and eventually they'll go away. And sort of to echo what you are saying is, just because the protests go away, just because it's not in your timeline, just because it's not in the nightly news, doesn't mean that these issues are less important and doesn't mean that you need to dedicate less energy into fixing them. And you gave a great list of how you can participate. And one thing I want to say, which is two things are so important that you can do to individually change this. Two agents you have to directly affect the future of this country and how this issue plays out for the rest of your life and the lives of your children and their children. Your vote, as you described, and your wallet. The more money you put into black-owned businesses, the more money you put into mom and pop in your community, the more you should just be more careful of where you're spending your money. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and speak in this microphone and act like I only buy from mom and pops. I only buy from black-owned businesses. I do not. I do not live the life. I am not the perfect role model, but what I am doing is starting to recognize that. And what I am doing is starting to change myself. I don't have a time machine. I can't revert 10 years and then change all of my practices from then. But I can change right now and moving forward, pay more attention to that and divert more of my income back into this community that is oppressed. You know, and I think that me and my wife have spoken about this a lot, especially in the last weekend, of ways that we can do that. And I encourage you to do the same.
That's well said. And I just want to extend a level of encouragement to those who understand that we've come so far yet realize that we have so far to go, and be inspired, because the ability to mobilize, and they're just more black and brown people that live in the suburbs now. They're more mixed families. They're more white kids who have black role models. They're more black kids that have white dads. And so our country is becoming that melting pot where you see various people standing together in the name of justice. And if you look back at the footage from the 60s, when they were marching, it started to change. And I want to give props to all of the whites who joined in the movement then and risked their reputations, their jobs, and their lives, and their health. I'm seeing segments of that now happening, and that is progress.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I want to say to you is, like, I'm in the middle of New York City, and, like, it seems like there's different phases to the protest. Oh, Jalen got the finger up. He got to say something. Uh-oh. Jalen got to say something.
But let me tell you why I ain't seeing progress with the police force. So let me get this right. Instead of arresting four people who were complicit in murdering one man, while 40 million people are unemployed, you will arrest over 5,000 Americans, put them on a curfew, create basically a martial law where you're bringing in troops on troops on troops into cities that have tanks and machine weaponry up and down the streets and rubber bullets and tear gas being fired because you don't want to hold four cops accountable for murdering somebody in cold blood? That ain't changed. The laws that govern the officers have not changed. That has not changed. Disappointed. That has not changed.
No. And I think that we need to
remember. We pay their salary and we pay for their attorney and we pay their attorney fees.
We need to remember that this is ultimately at its core about police reform.
And pensions.
I haven't heard a lot of discussion of police reform from the federal level. Let's just say that. I haven't heard a lot of discussion about police reform and hiring practices and training practices and how things are move forward. And I've seen a lot of videos of peaceful protesters just seemingly for no reason being attacked with tear gas and rubber bullets. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of police brutality in response to protests about police brutality.
But here's what I love about being able to do this show on this platform with you.
You know they're going to edit this all out, right?
No.
You got that look on your face. I'm playing. I don't think they will. You just got scared.
I love you so much. What I was going to say.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I broke the flow.
What was we talking about?
He said, here's why I love doing this show. He said, this platform. I ruined everything. Man, you're about to change the world. You're about to change the world.
Yeah, I forgot what I was about to say.
You know what? Guess what? We got a show tomorrow, dog. We got a show every single day of the week. And yeah, we podcast do. Exclusive. Yeah, we can pretty much say whatever we want in the podcast exclusive. We gonna make them write an email to us about the podcast exclusive. Because if we keep going, we're going to get one. And let's keep going until we get one, Jay. I'm ready. The podcast
Let's do it. 10 more years, we might get one.
No holds bar. Thank you so much for listening again. I want to make sure that everyone's listening to Bomani Jones' podcast. He's a friend of the show. Meet a Comics podcast, a friend of the show, The Daily, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. And, you know, there's a lot of chaos and protests, both peaceful and not peaceful. And there's clashes between different factions, not just police, just all over the globe. So wherever you are, stay home, stay safe, protect your home, take care of your chicken. We'll be back tomorrow.
We're not done.